God is so, so good. I'm so thankful to be in God's house this morning. And I just want to say a couple things. We've got visitors here this morning like we do almost every Sunday. And Paris Christian Center is an interdenominational ministry. It has been from 1987 to now. My father, Pastor Angelo, founded the ministry in 87. And the most important thing is that you realize that this is not a place of judgment. Church is not a place for perfect people because there isn't any perfect people. And so I've always been, my goal as a pastor was to create an environment where people could come in and get the healing and the things that they need in their life, because we're all just people. Amen. We're all just people. We all put our pants on the same exact way. We all go through life, and we need each other in this life to be able to go forward and to have a wholesome life. And so I just want to encourage everyone, you know, you don't got to fake it when you come through these doors. If you're hurting on any particular day, I want you to just come in here and let people love on you. You don't ever have to fake it to come into this place, because the body of Christ was meant to help and to heal each other, to be there for each other. And so from my heart to y'all's, thank you for being here in services with us this morning. And I've learned in my life to give honor and credit to where honor and credit is due. All of my deacons are gone, so I'm going to postpone that for just a second. It's terrible when you try to give people honor and they're not in the service for a minute. They're all back there working, if you haven't caught my drift. But anyways, y'all stand to your feet. We're going to do what we do every single morning. Every Sunday morning. And you know, in a week's time, so much can happen in a week. Amen. So much can happen in a week. Your life can be changed forever in a week. Your life could be changed forever in a moment. And I want you to realize that what you're doing right now, what you're doing is you are standing. You are standing. You're standing in person. You're standing in the spirit realm. You're standing. And the only reason why you're standing today is because God gave you the grace and the caring that only He can give to make you be able to stand. In a week's time, you could feel like giving up. You could feel like, you know what, it's just not worth it anymore. Everything's going to always be this way, and I'm never going to get through this part of my life. That's a lie of the enemy. You are standing today because God made you able to stand. I'm going to ask you, if you've had a rough week, I'm going to ask you just to begin to lift your hands, because you know what? God will meet you right in the place where you can't, because He can. God will meet you in the place where you need a healing in your body. God will meet you right in the middle of depression and anxiety and stress and addiction. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you said in your that you needed a binder, and you said that you needed a looser. So God, right now, I bind up every bit of discouragement in this place. I bind up sickness and infirmity. I bind up offenses. I bind up family trouble and division right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for Logan County. And Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over Logan County. God, I pray for every drug dealer in this city, every drug dealer in the county. God, I ask that you would expose them, and I ask that you would save them. Lord, I ask that you would clean up this town in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you right now to have your way in this place. God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited about the word. I'm excited about everything that God is doing here today, and that God is going to do in this service. And it has been a week, but God is still God, and He has been in every bit of it with you. Amen. And He will not let you down. If you don't hear another word that I say out of this service, what I want you to take away with you more than anything else is that God cares about you. He cares about where you're at in your life. He cares about the discouragement that you feel. He cares about the thing that keeps you up at night. He truly cares about what you're going through, and He will meet you in that place, and He will make sure that everything is taken care of to the very last detail. He cares for you. Amen. I'm going to ask you this morning to turn with me to John chapter 5. And we're going to begin to look at verse 1 through 9. And I started my message last week with this. And as I begin to pray about today's message, God brought me back here because Jill, he wasn't done ministering about this place. And I'm going to begin to preach a series of messages called Getting Well. Getting Well. And it's so fitting to make New Year's resolutions and to think about what you want to have changed in your life. But what I believe is so important to God, Miss Tierney, is that God wants to see his children well. He wants to see his children well. How many of you have children and you're a parent? Amen? How many of you can say, one of my heart's desires, one of the most important things to me is that I see my children do well on the face of the earth? Amen. God is no different. God wants to see you well. God wants to see you happy. God wants to see you have more than enough. God wants to see you not stressed and upset and depressed and wondering why everything's going on in your life and where is God. See, God has a bigger vision for you. We need to receive that this morning. So in John chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 1, and it says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and one who was there had been invalid for 38 years. That's a long time. That's a long time. Here we are. There's a pool of water. And people would go. And if they got to be first to go into that pool, they would be healed. And this is where the people that had problems and disabilities and all this thing, they would sit at this pool and they would wait. And here's this man, and he had this problem. He had a sickness. He had an illness for 38 years. That is a long time. There are Christians, there are believers, there are children of God that deal with ongoing problems for long periods of time. And you know what? Enough is enough. Enough is enough. God wants to see you get well. God wants to see you having a good time in your life and being happy and having joy. And it says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? And my question to you today is, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? I found myself this week, I think one of the most powerful things for a leader to do is to just be very transparent. And I will never act like I'm somebody that I'm not, because you can't help anybody when you do that. When you can show that you've got your own flaws, that you have your own weaknesses, that you hurt, that you go through things, that you struggle, that you feel like getting ugly with people, when you can be that transparent, you can actually be a leader and you can actually help people, because people will see we're all just people. And I found myself this week just weeping, just hurting, and I went to God and I said, God, I am hurting so bad. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick and tired of hurting over the same thing. God, I want to let it go. And when I want to let it go, it seems like it comes on even more. And God began to minister to me, and he began to ask me over and over, Kelly, do you want to get well? Do you want to get past that hurt in your life? You know, there are people, there are born-again believers, and they go through things, and we stay in trials too long. Amen. We stay in offenses too long. Amen. We stay in the sadness too long, and the grieving too long, and the irritation too long. And over time, it doesn't serve us well. Over time, it doesn't serve us well. And so I begin to minister. Now, you know, I know that God can talk to you wherever you're at. Well, I was in the shower. That's where I go to get away from people. one of the very few places I can go to get away from people is the bathroom. Until my children start putting their little fingers under the doors. And I'm going, God, I wanted to get away from everybody, including them. But I began to just, I just got myself up in the shower and I just was having a bad day. I've struggled this week. I'm not going to lie to you. I have struggled and I have struggled and I have struggled this week. I have probably cried more tears this week than I have in years. It is just, it's been a struggle for me. And I'm not afraid to stand before you today and tell you I did a lot of struggling this week. I failed some tests and I passed some tests, but I didn't pass them all. Did my flesh get the better of me at times? Yes, it did. Can I say that to y'all? Yeah, because you know what? If I want this place to be a place where there's no judgment cast, I'm going to have to be the guinea pig and say, look, I struggled as your pastor, and my flesh got the better of me half the time. Why? Because that sets a precedent for everybody else. Because everybody else needs to know that it's okay to be truthful. Do you notice that we live in a world where I'm fine, you're fine, everything's fine, you don't call me on my stuff, but and I won't call you on yours, right? Well, no, everybody's not fine. I'm not fine, you're not fine, none of the town is fine. We're not all fine. We all have things, and God wants us to get well. God wants us to get well. I'm going to teach this morning on hurt. Hurt. You know, you can nurse a hurt too long, and if you keep doing that, it's going to become a root of bitterness. If you keep nursing that, you're going to have so many problems that stem from that root of bitterness. You're going to not want to be around your family. You're going to not want to go in public. You're going to not want to do certain things because you've allowed that root of bitterness to come up inside of you and to take camp and to make root in your life, and it's going to grow. We need to address hurt in our lives so we can get it out. We need to address hurt in our lives so we can get it out of us. God did not design us to be bottled up people and to keep hurt inside of us. He designed us to get it out and to go on with our life. And so it says here, do you want to get well? And I can honestly say that I began this year and I thought, and I'm not saying that it's not, but I began the year and I said, this is going to be the best year ever. I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And I had all these plans. None of them were to lose 10 pounds, by the way, because I've given up on those type of New Year's resolutions. They're not happening. I'm just going to do the very best that I can do with all of that. But I started out with all these things and God kept bringing me back. I've had 8 days where Tina, God brings me back to all this stuff that I preached about last week. And he keeps saying, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Well, I was in the shower crying to God. And he said, Kelly, here's what I want you to do. I want to see you well. And I want you to want to be well. And you've nursed some hurts. You've nursed some ideas. You've nursed some offenses. There's things in your life that you've nursed, and because you've nursed them, they're inside of you, and they've made up a part of who you are, and that part isn't serving you well. I have people in my life. Now, can I keep it really real? I have people that it seems like no matter how hard I try to forgive them, I struggle. I hate that about myself. If there was one thing I could change, it would be that part of me. I think growing up in the ministry and seeing people many times at their worst did not help me with that little problem. But I have that problem. It is an issue for me. And over time, I have these things that I want to hold a grudge. And I want to forgive them, but then I don't want to forgive them because I know they're going to keep doing it. Okay, I said we were going to keep it honest. So we're going to keep it honest today. God said, Kelly, I want you to get yourself a jar. I'm a very visual person. He said, I want you to get a jar. And on that jar, I want you to write this. People who have hurt me. He said, and I want you to begin to put the names of people in the jar. And every day, I want you to get that jar. And I want you to put it close to you. And I want you to plead the blood of Jesus over those people. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. We have to forgive. And we have to make a choice to not hold people in a cage of unforgiveness. And many times we do that because they hurt us. I want to talk about getting well with people that have hurt you. Let's go now to Psalms chapter 32. We're going to look at verse 3. And I'm going to begin to pull out points that are going to help you get well in the area of the people that have hurt you. Psalms chapter 32, verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. It will do you no good in your life to wash over something that you know is there. If there is a problem, if there is a hurt, the last thing in the world that you need to do is ignore it and act like it's not there. Because if you do that, you're going to end up a very confused person. That's how we got in the I'm fine, you're fine generation. If you're hurting, and your hurt, you know, maybe something happened in your childhood. Maybe something happened in your marriage. Maybe something happened between you and a coworker, or you and your spouse, or you and your child, or you and whatever. If there is something in your life that has caused you pain, you need to say, you know what, God, I'm hurting. I'm not going to act like I'm not. I'm hurting. See, what did David say? When I kept silent, when I didn't say anything, when I didn't see that, yes, I had a problem, my bones just wasted away. Nothing was good for me. If there is a hurt there, you need to admit it, and then you can go forward. You can't admit something. You can't go forward with anything you can't admit. I know for years of being in Celebrate Recovery and conducting those meetings that the first thing is just to admit that there's a problem. Admit that there's a problem. Psalms chapter 39, verse 2 and 3. And it says, I kept completely silent, but it did no good, and I heard even worse. I kept completely silent, but it did no good, and I hurt even worse. There's a time and a place for you to keep silent about things, but when it comes to what has hurt you, what has stopped you in your life, what has hindered you in your life, you don't need to keep silent about that. You need to say it to God, and you need to say it to whomever you need to say it to. But see, the pain's not going to go away by you acting like it's not there. The pain ain't going to go away by you acting like it's not there. The pain goes away when you say, I'm in pain. Now what do I need to do about it? And in verse 3, I felt a fire burning inside me. And the more I thought, the more it burned. Until at last I said, and here he is. He said, you know what? I had something inside of me. I tried to keep it in there. I wouldn't voice it out. The more it's just like I was on fire. How many of you have ever been so upset that you just felt like you were just literally on fire on the inside because it was so upsetting to you that you were just ablaze with it? That's how we lose control. When we get to that point where we are so hurt and somebody has poked the bear too much or something has happened, guess what's going to happen next? An explosion. An explosion. For me, for y'all, for any human being on the planet, I kept completely silent, but it did no good. It's going to do you no good to act like everything's fine in your life when it isn't. It's going to do you no good when you're hurting on the inside and you're trying to pretend that you're not. What's going to happen? That's called an internal thing going on with you. And in verse 3, I felt a fire burning. And the more I thought, the more it burned. The more I thought, the more it burned. How many of you know that the worst thing that you can do is overthink? Do I have any overthinkers in the place this morning? I found myself so much in this verse. The more I thought, the more it burned. The more I thought about it, the more agitated I was about it. At one point this week, and I'm not proud of this, but we have to become a people that are just honest, right? Or we end up very confused. At one point, I had my phone this week, and this poor new lady, she's thinking, what have I gotten myself into? Megan, I had my phone, and I had the phone out to here, and I was just screaming. I think I have developed some anger issues. I do. And I'm not trying to be cute or funny. Why? Because I felt a fire burning inside of me. The more I thought, the more it burned. The more I tried to act like there was nothing there, the more it hurt. Do you want to get well today or not? Do you want to get well in your life? You can't do it by saying there's nothing wrong, everything's fine. No, you really didn't hurt my feelings. No, this is okay. No, no. How about just being honest and saying, yeah. Yeah, I'm not fine. What happens when we can do that? God will meet you right in that place where you're not fine. And he'll make you better. He'll make you whole. And so, it's not going to do you any good to keep everything bottled up inside, because at some point, the bottle will get too full and overflow. And when that happens, we will say and do things that we will regret. This week, I said and did things that I regretted. Why? Because the bottle got too full. What did it get too full of? Hurt. There comes a point in our life where we just have to say, no more. No more. No more of me being dishonest with myself and acting like life is fine when it's not. I need inner healing, and that's what I'm working toward in my life. We have to come to that place where we don't allow every little cotton-picking thing to get to us so bad that it robs our peace. I don't know if anybody else does that, but I do that. Somebody will say something to me, and at first I'm like, okay, that's not a big deal. And then they'll say something, and then I'll digest that for about 30 minutes, and I'm like, well, they could have meant 37 things when they said that, and then I'll just go on the line. We allow our peace to be stolen so many times by others. We need to say, you know what? It's time for me to get better. You don't have to answer all your critics. You don't have to sit there and defend yourself all the time. But one of the things that you do have to do is be honest with yourself. And you need to tell God when you're hurting. Does God already know? Yes, he does. Does that mean you don't have to tell him? No. Any parent knows this right here. My kids, they know that I love them. But until the day I die, I'm not going to stop telling them that. I've told them probably millions of times in their lifetime. And I'll tell them millions of times more. Does God know when you're hurting? Yes, he does. But do you need to sit and have a conversation with him about it? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So the more we keep it inside, the more it burns on the inside. You want to stop getting angry. You want to stop having moments where your peace is stolen and all this stuff. When something happens, digest it and say, you know what, Lord? My flesh wants to get offended at this, but God, right now, I plead the blood of Jesus over this situation. Lord God, I'm not going to keep silent to you. I'm going to tell you all my troubles, and God, I'm going to leave them with you. The problem is we get too busy to even talk to God. Or we think that we do. We get so busy that God keeps going down the line as important things. You know, I've been so busy doing things for God that there have been times where I've forgotten my relationship with God. There have been nights where I realized I didn't talk to God all day while I was doing things in His name all day. You really want to get well? Talk with Him. Have a conversation with Him. If you found yourself in a frustrated part of your life, be honest about that and say, you know what, Lord, I'm frustrated in my life right now. God, can you come into this place and make it better? You know, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And that's a verse that most pastors will use when they are asking about salvation. But I want to tell you this right here. There is a door of depression. There is a door of anxiety. There is a door of trouble, a door of financial problems, a door of being upset and depressed. See, we have all these doors in our life, and God is sitting there saying, behold, I stand at that door, every door of your life, and I knock. If you'll let me come in, I'll come in and make it better. See, God's not going to be barging through your life and making you do something that you don't want to do. You invite God to come into those places in your life. This week I said, Lord, I don't want to be a bottled up person anymore. I don't want to keep nursing these hurts anymore. I'm going to open this door to you. Lord, you want me to literally put people's names in a jar and to hold this jar and every day pray over it? That's what I'll do. What does the Bible say? Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that are mean to you. We have to start really being Christians and doing what the Word says. Amen? So, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 14. And in the Living Bible, here is my first point. You can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. And I'm going to stop right there. You can't heal a wound by saying that it's not there. You can't. So, a hurt is not going to heal on its own. There's going to be a part where you say, God, I have this hurt. It hurt me. I'm not going to ignore that it's there, and I'm not going to say that it's not there. Here it is. Here's the hurt. Then what happens? You can't heal a wound by saying that it's not there. We need to stop saying that there's not hurt and just say, there is hurt. Lord, I give the hurt to you. You can't heal a wound by saying that it's not there. When I was little, I was the biggest tomboy ever, and we lived on 10 acres of land. And I was into everything. I was one of those kids that was just literally into everything. My mother was just all the time. She had to really keep her eyes on me because I was into everything. They used to call me the white tornado in church because all you could see was my bleached blonde hair just zipping through all the places in the church, and I was everywhere. And I used to have this toy that they thought I had outgrown. Well, I thought otherwise. They took my toy, Mr. Froggy, and they put him in the barn. And it was a ride-on toy, and I wasn't done with him. And I got on my mom's nerves so bad by asking for this toy that she finally agreed to let me have it back. She said, it's in the barn. I'm going to go get it. Kelly, the barn is dangerous on the inside. Don't go in the barn. I was also one of those children that the moment you told me not to do something, I was doing it. I have a kid like that now, and it's just really something. And so Mama goes in to get Froggy, and I move my arm across an old metal feeding trough. Those things are dangerous because back then they didn't care about tetanus or anything. You know, nothing was safe. And I went out of the barn, acted like I didn't go in the barn because Mama, I could hear she was coming out. And I thought, I'm going to get out of the barn because I was told not to go to the barn. Here's my arm and it's just dripping blood. She's going, Kelly, and she's freaking out because she's an RN and here I am bleeding all over the place. She goes, did you go to the barn? And I said, no. no, I did not go to the barn. She goes, what is wrong with your hand? And I hold up my hand. It's the left one. And blood's coming all the way down it. That metal had cut my hand and just bleeding everywhere. She goes, Kelly, you're bleeding. And some of the worst, I've had two children, and I can still remember the pain that I felt with my mother washing that wound to this day. And she squeezed it so hard that when we finally got to the doctor, I didn't even need stitches because she had squeezed me so hard that the flesh began to heal itself. That's how tight she squeezed me, all right? And she was showing no mercy. She was washing that thing and she was doing all this stuff. But you can't heal a wound by acting like it's not there. Here, I'm bleeding like crazy. No, I'm fine. No, you're bleeding, Kelly. I'm going to wash that wound up. You know, in the Word, in the Psalms, it says, He binds up the brokenhearted. The part of that binding is going to be painful. I remember it to this day, her holding that hand so tight, and it was painful. Look here, if you will tell God, God, I'm hurting, this person hurt me, this thing in my life hurt me, this situation at my job has really hurt me, I've got pain in my marriage, Lord, all these things, if you'll voice them to God, God's going to take that wound, and He's going to bind it up. What's He going to do? Sometimes God will put pressure on a wound. And I believe that that's what I have felt this week. God is giving me opportunity to say, I don't want to be like this anymore. God, I'm going to let you come in and heal this hurt that I've nursed for years and years and years. You can't heal a wound by saying that it's not there. My first point is reveal the pain, call it out, be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Release those who hurt you. Do you want to get well or do you want to get even? Because you can't do both. Do you want to get well or do you want to get even? Because you can't do both. You have to decide what you really want in your life. You have to decide what you really, really want in your life. Getting even doesn't take the pain away. It actually adds more pain. When you decide that you want to play a tit-for-tat game with somebody, look here, it's not going to end. They're going to always go the tit, and you're going to always go the tat. And it'll keep it going. What happens when we keep it going? There's an opportunity for more hurt to be done there. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 27 through 36. And it says this, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them to do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those who you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Without expecting to get anything back. We are a very expecting generation. We are a very expecting generation. People expect when they give an apology to get one back. Look here, that ain't always going to happen. People expect people to do a certain thing, and when they don't, it hurts them and it offends them and it whatever. How many of you have come to the place in your life where you understand that you can't control any other person? How many of you have come to the point in your life where you understand at times you cannot even control yourself? Amen. Amen. So we have to learn how to do things and how to handle these hurts, because look here, in this life, people are going to hurt you. They're going to mistreat you. What does the word say to do? Well, first of all, if they hurt you, realize that you were hurt. It's okay to feel hurt, but it's not okay to nurse it. I've got two nieces that are almost the exact same age. And both of my sisters, they were pregnant together, and they had Macy and they had Bella. Well, not to get too much information, but they decided to breastfeed their girls. And I'm not against it, and I have no opinion about breastfeeding or formula. I really don't. So don't send me any of your hate mail if you're listening online. I don't want it. I've had enough this week. But they decided to nurse their children. Well, I didn't have any kids at the time, so I was like, wow, that's really a commitment, because it's very time consuming. And I remember my sister Melissa was the type of mom that she read all the books. And she went by them books, like, to the T. And when it said, your child is to be weaned by this day, she did it. And it broke my heart. I remember having little Macy over at my house on Bryan Street, and she was weaning her off of that because the book said it was time. And Macy would go get her blanket, and she would go to Melissa, and she was wanting to be nursed. And Melissa kept pushing her back and saying, nope, go lay down. And I was thinking, I'm pretty sure this is child abuse in some weird way. Like, who does this to this adorable child? Like, please nurse her. Like, I mean, and then the kid's looking at me, and I'm thinking, man, if I could nurse you right now, I would do that for you, because this is awful to have to be a part of this and watch this. This is breaking my heart. So we got this baby, and she's wanting to be nursed. She's like a year old. I'm thinking, what the heck, Melissa? Just nurse the baby. But she's like, no. So she keeps, and you know what? If you keep on nursing, you keep on nursing and drawing close to you those hurts and those offenses from others, you are going to be the most miserable person that you know. How do I know that? Because I am the most miserable person that I know. How did I get there? By nursing hurts and offenses. And I'm not teaching anything except for when I can teach it out of my own life and say, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be that way, because you'll end up not happy in your life, and you'll come to a place where you say, Lord, I need help. See? So you can't nurse these things, and you have to be good to people when they're not good to you, but love your enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. God said, Kelly, I want you to come to a place where every name in your jar, you can let it go with them and not expect anything back. Don't expect anything back from them. Why? Because look here, don't set yourself up for disappointment. There's enough of that in life. You cannot control other people. We can barely control ourselves most of the time. Stop expecting you out of everybody else. Do you ever catch yourself saying, well, I would never do that, but this is what they did? Well, they did this. I would never do that. They handled it this way. Who would handle it that way? I would never do that. Well, good for you. Don't expect you out of everybody. God said, Kelly, you know there's going to be another jar too. Lord, how many jars am I going to have before the year's up? As many as necessary. Guess what the other one's going to be? People I've hurt. People I've hurt. Because look here, the moment we want to not be forgiving, what we have to realize is that God is going to forgive us the way that we forgive others. How do we forgive others? How are we supposed to? As he does. So when was the last time God forgave you and then he kept bringing it up? That's what we got to ask ourselves. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't keep bringing up all the old stuff that you did? Amen. How many of you, when someone's hurt you and you're really voicing it, and you get to that point where you've had enough and you're just telling them off, you bring up stuff from a long time ago? Okay, that's why I'm preaching this message, because that's old stuff. We got to get that stuff out of there and move on with life. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 9 through 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, and be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope and patient in affliction. How many of you, when you're really going through a battle, you're real patient? I believe that. I believe that from you, Eli. So, it says be patient in affliction. Be patient when you're going through it. Be patient when you're struggling. This week, I'm not going to lie. Let's talk about some of my failures. I said to myself, how many of you know you talk to yourself? Don't answer back. If you do, you know you're real crazy. But I said to myself, I've had it, and I'm done. How many of you have ever said those exact words? Praise the Lord for honest people. And it was just like that switch. Flicked itself back there. How many of you know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak? This is why I'm telling you to get all that stuff. Don't keep them hurts in, because there will be a point when you've had enough and you're done. And tyranny, look here, baby, all that stuff will come out. And it'll spew on everybody else. Here's some of the things that I caught myself saying this week. Lord, I wish that everyone that's so interested in my life would be just as interested in you. Now, is that very nice for me to say? No. But I can admit that. Sometimes you have to give yourself some time away from all the noise and just say, Lord, I'm going to spend some time with you. And I'm going to get through this hurt that I'm dealing with. Come on, Lord, let's just go and let's just be. You can't heal a hurt by saying it's not there. You can't have a hurt healed by never spending time with God. You got to spend time with him. You got to call on him. And you know, one of the things that makes me fall in love with the Lord more and more each day is when I realize just how sweet God is to us. When I realize how sweet that God really is to us. I was sitting out there and I was looking at the lake yesterday. And I was thinking about how peaceful that it really was out there. And I said, Lord, I need some help. I've let things get to me and they shouldn't get to me. And he said, Kelly, I have given you this life to enjoy it. If you're not enjoying it, you're selling yourself short. Amen. Do you want to have joy in your heart, or do you want to keep that grudge? Do you always need to be right? Do you always need to be right? You know, there are people, they always need to be right. Are you one of them? There have been times where, Angel, I've needed to always be right. I found myself this week and I said, Lord, I don't even know who's right in this situation anymore. I really don't. But God, right now, I'm waving that white flag and I surrender, because God, to me, it's not about who's right and it's not about who's wrong, because God, I just choose peace in my life right now. Amen. I just choose peace. And Lord, as far as it concerns me, I'm going to live at peace. Amen. There's times, how many of you love to be at peace? Amen. How many of you have trouble being there? There's times where peace, it totally depends on you. Unfortunately. And if you're a hothead like me, Tyler, you're going to have some trouble. Because there's times where peace has depended on me, Brother Paul, and I didn't pass that test. I just kept it going. They said something, then I said something. They titted over here, so I tatted over here. How many of you got like an inner two-year-old inside of you, and sometimes you're just going to throw that tantrum and it's not right? Here's what I've learned in ministry. Everybody has a two-year-old inside of them. And many times the pastor is the worst one. You know why that is? Because they're the one that got to deal with everybody. God will use the weirdest people to spread the gospel. I'm living proof of that. But one thing God does know about Pastor K is that I will speak it and I will speak the truth and I will preach out of my own life if it helps other people. Amen. We don't need to keep hurts in our life. They're tearing us up. So bless those who persecute you and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. You know, a lot of our stupidity comes in moments where we're being prideful. You ever notice that? You ever notice some of the dumbest things that we've done were moments where we were just being prideful? I think, Lord, why did I do this, this, and this? Well, because you were too prideful to say you were wrong. Sometimes we get into arguments with people, and halfway through that argument, we're going, wait a second, what are we arguing about now? Hold on. Yeah. Have you ever gotten into an argument with your spouse or something? And I haven't. We've only been married a week, but I'm sure we will at some point. But you ever got in an argument with somebody and you're like, you've been in that argument too long, maybe an hour or so, and you're like, okay, what are we arguing about? But you're so far into it, you're going to keep on at it. That's not a good trait. Okay? Live in harmony with one another and do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, and be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. A part of living at peace and as a part of you choosing peace is this right here. What is one of the things that will steal your peace? Holding a grudge, right? Holding that hurt in, right? When you hold a hurt in, at some point, Miss Rita, don't you agree? It's going to come out at some point. You'll have a falling out. You'll get into it with your husband. You'll get into it with your kids. It may be 3 weeks from the time that they hurt you, but at some point, that hurt is going to be brought up. That's why I'm saying don't let it sit in there and fester. If something nicks you, say it right then. Say it right then. One of the sweetest things about Frank is this right here. We were friends for a very long time before we ever got married. And he said to me, One day he said, Kelly, I never want to do anything that hurts you. So one of the things that I'm going to ask you to do is if I ever do anything, if I ever say anything, if I ever anything, what I want you to do is I want you to call me on it right then. I want you to tell me about it right then. Well, there have been times where he has said things, and before he would get finished saying them, I would say, now you said if you ever did anything to upset me, for me to tell you, and you are upsetting me right now. But look here, we need to be that way. We need to be that way. We need to bear with one another. When they upset us, we need to be able to say, hey, you upset me, and this is why. And you know what? When somebody comes to us and they say, you know, you've hurt me, that upset me, we need to put our ears back and be like, you know what? I'm sorry. You know, there's times in your life where you're going to apologize for things and you didn't do anything wrong. Here's what I know as a person. There's times that I have hurt people and I didn't mean to hurt them. You can't tell someone else how to feel. Right? I can't tell Tanya. Now, Tanya, don't feel like this, this, and this. I can tell her how to not feel all day long, but at the end of the day, she's going to feel what she feels. I can't make her feel any type of way. But if she comes to me and said, Pastor Kelly, when you said this to me, that hurt me. Did I intend it to hurt? No. But you know what I should do? Not even as a pastor, but just as a Christian, I should say, you know what? I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I hurt you and I didn't mean to. And when people hurt us and we don't get an apology, we need to do exactly what Jesus did on the cross. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, if the people that have hurt you, if they knew many times, I'm not saying every time, but if they knew that they hurt you as much as they did, they probably wouldn't have done it. We've hurt people and we didn't mean to. And we just have to imitate Christ and say, you know what, God? Forgive people. Lord, forgive them. God, forgive me. Lord, help us. Help us. Psalms chapter 56, verse 8. You have kept record of my days of wandering, and you have stored my tears in your bottle and counted each of them. You have stored my tears in your bottle, and you have counted each of them. Every single tear that you have cried about that thing that hurts you the most, or that stress, or that, you know, some people... I can say that there was a time period in my life when I first became a pastor 4 years ago where there was a grieving that went on inside of me, and it took me a few years to understand what it was even about. But Miss Sherry, what it was is that I always had an idea of how I thought I would get into the ministry. And when I finally was full-time lead pastor and it didn't happen the way that I thought that it was going to happen, there was a part of me that was so hurt because it didn't happen how I thought. Because see, there's times where we have an idea of how God's going to do something. We have an idea of what our life is going to be. You know how many people grieve over an idea that they thought their life was going to be like. I hear it all the time. People will say to me all the time, Pastor Kelly, my life is just a mess. I thought that by the time I was this age, I would be married. I would be this. I would have a home. I would this and I would have a that. You know how many people grieve over the fact that their life isn't what the idea they thought it was going to be like? What I can tell you is this right here. God has stored every single tear that you've ever cried. He has stored it in His bottle. And He knows. But it is not going to serve you well to keep hurt inside of you. You have to let it go. You have to just let it go. And it says, you have kept record of my days of wandering, and you have stored my tears in your bottle. You have counted each of them. Not only has Christ stored them, but He's counted them. He's counted them. There are times where when you realize that you are hurting, there may be seasons of time where you have to let people go. Don't be afraid to do that. Amen. How many of you ever have pity parties for yourself? Another failed test for me this week. I could feel myself getting on that pity party boat. And I thought, Kelly, stop feeling sorry for yourself. God has given you a very good life. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Lindsay, as much as I told myself, I still kept feeling sorry for myself. How many times do y'all ever have people get under your skin? Usually, I'm pretty tolerant and I'm pretty whatever. But I feel like I have allowed myself to be in a bad place in my mind because I'm hurting that angel, this week, for whatever reason, I just said, I am done letting people hurt me and I'm going to just stick up for myself. And I got on Facebook, and I told all the nosy people right where they could go. And I was like, Lord, and I've never done that before on Facebook. And the whole time I've ever been on Facebook, I thought, I've just had it. I know nobody else has ever done that. I love y'all. But anyways, and I just, the whole day I was irritated. How many of you know keeping a hurt in is going to irritate the fire out of you? God said, Kelly, get on that stupid Facebook post of yours and just look at the comments. Okay, Lord. See, when God starts talking to you about Facebook, you know God is everywhere. Right? So I start looking and He said, Kelly, people love you. People love you. Why are you doing this to yourself? You have allowed the thoughts and the opinions of others to get to you. And you are hurting your own self, Kelly, more than you think that the people in this jar have hurt you. Kelly, however much you think they've hurt you, you have hurt you more by the things that you allow other people to do to you in your thought life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We need to get to that point where we say, you know what, God, I don't want to hurt anymore. We become that man at that pool that says, I want to get well. You know, the only place the devil has to get you is in your mind. Because you get something in your mind and you'll do it. You'll act it out if you keep doing that. You keep thinking about things in your mind, you'll act them out. I've had people say, Pastor Kelly, why do you think that I cussed out so-and-so at the grocery store? I get asked the weirdest questions. And I always ask God, Lord, I never thought by answering the call that I was going to turn into Dr. Phil. And I'm like, well, here's the simplest reason why you cussed Susie Sue out. You want it? It's a big epiphany. You cussed them out in the grocery store because you saw yourself cussing them out before you ever did it. Whatever you allow your mind to sit there and daydream about and keep on going and keep on whatever in your brain with them people that have hurt you. How many of you have ever imagined yourself telling somebody off? Okay. This is why we can't live in land of hurt. Because you will act out whatever your little brain can imagine up. And see, God has a better life. He has a more wholesome life for you. Now, I have shared a lot of my faults. If it's made me look bad, but it's made you think about your life, well, then good. It served its purpose. Amen. Now, I started out the beginning of the service trying to do something, and then everybody was up and about and around. But one of the things that I think every good leader does is they realize that they can't do it alone. Amen. Every good leader, they'll tell you their faults. And then they'll say, these are the people that helped me. And from my heart to yours, I just want to tell y'all, thank you for loving me as your pastor. And when I have to tell y'all things about me, you're just going to have to not think bad about me. Because I just sometimes can't even deal with my own self. But I have a special group of people, and they help me and they back me up, and they're the core of this church. They're the backbone of the church, and I simply couldn't do life without them, and they mean so much to me. So I'm going to ask all of my deacons, if you'll stand up. Dad, stand up. Brother Larry, stand up. Mary, stand up. You're a deacon. Did I miss anybody? Okay. We've got our deacons, Mary and Ernie, over here. Brother Sam is our minister of pastoral care. He's also a deacon, but Sam is basically my right-arm man, and I love him dearly. He's been with me through thick and thin, and I couldn't do life without Sam. Anytime I call him, if I need something, he's right on it. And I don't want to start the year with not giving people the credit and the honor where credit is due. Brother Charlie has been with me since I was like 7 months old. And he got me one of the worst whoopings I have ever had in my life by telling my daddy something bad about me. But life wouldn't... It was Casey. Well, that figures. But Brother Charlie has been with Parish Christian Center almost from the beginning, and I love him so much. Brother Charlie is just been the best man, and I love him dearly. We've got Brother Larry back here. He is an elder of the church. Anytime I call Brother Larry and I say, Brother Larry, I need you to talk me off the ledge, that's exactly what he does. He's an awesome, awesome man of God, and I love him dearly. Last but not least, we've got my dad, Brother Angelo. He's also a pastor here at this church. He founded the ministry. Parish Christian Center would not be what it is. Wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for them. Brother Ernie, Sister Mary, known me my entire life, been in this church my entire life. I don't remember a time in Parish Christian Center where there wasn't Brother Ernie and Sister Mary. It's not Deacon Ernie and Miss Mary. It's Deacon Ernie and Deacon Mary. I've never called y'all and you've said I can't. I love y'all dearly. And it's important for people to know who is people in the church. Because you know what? When you cannot get a hold of me because I can't do it all, I guarantee you if you call one of these people in here and you need help, they'll be there for you. They will be there for you. Y'all stand to your feet. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for your word that came forth today. God, I thank you, Lord, that it's taken root, God, that it's going to grow. Lord, and I ask you right now, God, to give us every ability to let people go in the chains of unforgiveness that we've had them in. Lord, if we're struggling with hurts from long time ago, Lord, I ask for you to give us peace, Lord, and give us courage to just let it go. Lord, in Jesus' name. God, I ask right now for blessings for each family, for each person. Lord, you know what every person needs here. So, Lord, we thank you that you've met every need, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.